The word grace is found 159 times in Scripture, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And the word grace simply means a favor and acceptance with God, or unmerited favor with God. The first time it's mentioned is found in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, and the last time it's mentioned is Revelation chapter 22 and verse 21. I want you to open your Bible with me this morning to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. I thought this an interesting illustration, an example of God's use of grace throughout Scripture. When we look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we see a dynamic where grace is applied to a person in need of it. And then we see this very same thing the last time it's used in the book of Revelation, in time when somebody needs grace. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Genesis 6, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." How come God found grace in the eyes of the Lord? It says in verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah." Noah was a what? He was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with whom? God. Grace was accounted to him of his worthiness, so to speak, and God accounted him acceptable. And had faith or acceptance and favor with Noah because Noah walked with God. How is it that Noah walked with God? Well, Noah walked with God because he was obedient to the call of God. Amen? When God asked him to build an ark in the middle of a desert plain, well, we don't know that it was a desert, but when God asked Noah to build an ark, before there was ever any waters splashing against the shore side, Noah went and did what God asked of him to do. Obedience. And so therefore God gave acceptance and favor to Noah. What's interesting is that God offered favor and acceptance to Noah before Noah ever was obedient to God's call. And we're going to see that a little more as we go through Scripture today. But what was the situation in the time of Noah? The world had grown into wickedness, right? The book of Genesis is about the creation of man, the fall of man, the sin and wickedness that arose in humanity and in the world. And then finally, God had to destroy the wickedness of man because he says it was so great and so evil, God was going to wipe it away with a flood. Amen? God's going to take care of sin. That's an end-time message for you and I today, that God will deal with sin appropriately and God will take away sin once and for all. God found acceptance and favor in Noah because he was obedient to his call. Grace was offered to a man in a time when sin was rampant. If there's ever a time when you and I need grace, it's right now. What do you say? Acceptance and favor with God. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to look at the last time grace is used in Scripture. Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. Jesus, when John was in vision of all the book of Revelation, he which testifies to these things says, "Surely I do what? I come quickly," right? And we know that in Matthew 24, Jesus says when he comes again, he is bringing his reward, what? With him. He is going to separate the sheep from the goats and so on and so forth. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Christ in dealing with the problem of sin, amen? And how God is going to redeem those that are faithful to him and obedient to his call, just like Noah. But notice here, he says, "Surely I do what? I come quickly." And notice this, verse 21, John reiterates the importance of grace in an individual's life more than ever in the time in which we live. Notice what he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with who? You all." More than ever in a time in earth's history do we need God's acceptance and favor. What do you say? Unmerited favor, God's grace. When God was dealing with Noah and the wickedness of mankind, so God is dealing with the sin and wickedness of mankind, and more than ever, we need God's grace. What do you say? When we look at the book of Revelation, it's fascinating to note and to realize just where we are in earth's history. Daniel chapter 2 has been fulfilled except for the stone. Daniel chapter 7, we are living in those horns. Revelation chapter 12, we're living in the time of those horns. Daniel chapter 9, 2300 days. Daniel chapter 8, these prophecies have been fulfilled in relating to us where we are in Earth's history. No wonder, here, an important message. Surely I come quickly. Prophecy has been fulfilled. What do you say? More than ever, right now in Earth's history, do we need God's unmerited faith, grace, and favor? Amen? We need that because Jesus is coming. Now, what is grace? We're going to see it applied, or how do we see grace applied or seen in action? Grace in action, or grace, is an acceptance with God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 8, and then we will read verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his" what? "Love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," what did Christ do? He died for us. Now notice verse 10. "For if when we were" what? "We were enemies with God," right? "We were reconciled to God by death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his" what? Here it is. Acceptance and favor with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. What do you say? That's the good news. That's the message for you and I today, is that Christ offered his grace to us while we were yet enemies with God. While we were while we had an offense against God, Jesus came into this world and he died for us before any of us were ever born. In John chapter 17, it's very clear that as Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, "Lord, God, I pray not for these only, but for those who believe in their word by faith." In other words, God or Christ was praying for those down through the ages after his death. He was praying for you and I. Jesus died on the cross to give us his favor and acceptance before any of us were born. He put in place grace before we committed the first sin. Isn't that amazing? That's just profound. God had settled the problem of the sin problem before any of us were born. From the foundations of the world, as it says, right? Christ was what? He was crucified from the foundations of the world. He offered his grace. He offered his favor and acceptance before he even created the world. That is powerful. God's love for you and I. This is grace in action. Bringing favor to his enemy. How many of you would be willing to die for your enemy? That's a challenge, isn't it? Somebody you know that despises or rejects you, you don't like them, or they don't like you, or whatever it is, your enemy, you don't care too much for them, would you be willing to die? That is grace. That is love. Now, let's move on here. As you see there, Christ died. This is God's grace in action, dying for us before we even were born or committed the first sin or grievance against God. Grace is also something, an acceptance and a favor with God, something that we need that's there for us in time of need. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Therefore come boldly." What does it say? "Come boldly to the throne of" what? Of grace. I like that. Acceptance and favor with God. That's what God's throne's all about. That's what God's presence is all about. God wants you close to him. Doesn't matter what the sin. Doesn't matter what the crime. It doesn't matter what your situation is. God wants to offer you acceptance and favor. The problem is, it's us. Many of us do not want God's acceptance or favor. Well, he says that you may find mercy and that you may find grace to help in what? Time of need. Amen. All right? If there was ever a time, now is the time we need God's grace. What do you say? Favor and acceptance with God. Is there opportunities in our life where we are needing God's grace? Yes or no? Yeah. There are times when we make mistakes, we fail, we fall down, and we end up lying on our back. We need God's grace. God is telling us his door is open wide, and if we want to approach his throne, we can do so with full assurance and confidence that Christ, or God, will accept us and will offer us his favor. That's what grace is all about. Even though we don't deserve it, Christ is wanting to give it to us. Doesn't cost you anything. And anything that's free nowadays, we often challenge and go, what's the catch? What are you expecting of me? What do you want? You know, somebody will call you up on the phone. You're not going to believe this. You just buy this fancy, you know, schmancy vacuum cleaner and we'll throw in $50,000, you know. You just sign up for this credit card and we'll give you another $1,000 towards your first purchase. You know, what's the catch? As long as you hold a balance in there for the next year, pay interest and all these things, there's always a catch. Nothing is truly ever free. And I think that's where we come in with a great challenge as Christians. We look at God's grace that's free and we say, what do I need to do? And we say, well, maybe I need to work. Maybe I need to try harder. God is saying, no, my acceptance and my favor for you is absolutely free. You don't need to do anything. And that's hard for us to accept and believe. But, he says, that we may find grace to help in time of need. When I was a young boy, one of the things I used to love to do is on the way to school is run around down in the ditch. That's where all the water from the mountains flowed off into the Santa Ana River. And many times that water would overflow and go over the sides and people would get all nervous and reach up to the overpass or the bridge. And after all that water went through, it'd come and it would just go, just whoosh, it'd flow right through there. Never knew when it was going to hit, just flow right in there. All of a sudden, there's just a mass of water. They always warned us, you know, stay out of the ditch, kids, stay out of the ditch. A couple of times, some kids drowned in that ditch. There was one time a guy, the water got high, and he thought he was going to surf his way down to the Santa Ana River, and he threw his surfboard in there and heading down the river. Anyways, after that water would pass through, it was pretty cool because it would stir up all the mud and the dirt, and all this stuff would surface. You'd find car parts and, you know, sometimes you'd find some coins or you'd find whatever, you know, this junk. Take it home and mom would be pleased that you brought it home, you know, type thing. But they always wanted to stay out of there. The worst thing was is that you'd be walking along and you'd just sink right down in the mud up to your waist or sometimes up to your chest. No matter how hard you tried to get out of that, you just couldn't do it. So you just sat there and you hoped that somebody came along. And what happened was people would get stuck in these things and water would overflow and the water could just like flash floods. You know, boom, it's there. People died in that stuff. So we always went down there with a buddy and your friend would help you out, to pull you out, take two of them to pull you out. You know, you try digging your way out. It just doesn't work. Grab each side of your arm and they'd drag you out of the mud and you'd be mud head to toe, you know. There was a time of need when you get stuck, when you sink in the ground, when you get stuck in sin, you need God's grace. His arms reach down and help pull you out. It's when we try and we try to dig our way out that we just get into a deeper and deeper mess. God's grace is there to help us in time of what? Need, and it's free. You don't need a AAA card, right? You don't need a club membership card. It's there free. All you do is call on His name, and we have acceptance and favor. The Bible says in Proverbs, a just man falls how many times? 7 times, but he gets up again. Why? Because his hope is placed in Christ. The blood that covers his sin. No matter how many times he sins against God, there is the promise and the hope that there is assurance that God will accept me and forgive me and offer me His favor, and I will be just like Noah, perfect and just before God. Was Noah a just and perfect man? Truly, in the sense of the word, in this planet? No, he wasn't. After the flood, he got a little drunk and wound up being naked. You know, people tell me, hey, it's okay to drink a little bit, you know, and in fact, there's many people in the Bible who did it, you know. Well, those people end up drinking in the Bible, what do? End up naked and doing other stupid things. Doesn't pay. Anyways, Noah, he had some problems. But God, because of his acceptance of Christ, found favor, forgiveness, therefore he was justified, therefore he was found perfect in the eyes of God. Because of grace. Now, follow along here. Let's go on. Grace, we are to walk daily in grace. Turn with me to Acts 13, verse 43. It's not that we just accept Christ's grace or God's grace for us, acceptance and favor. It's a responsibility of ours to walk in it daily. In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, you see an illustration or an example, and I suppose I could just read it to you, but for the sake, let's just read the verse. Verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in what? The grace of God. Once you've come to acceptance of Christ, once you've become part of the church, you are not just to accept God's grace and favor once a week or every third day or on Thursday nights in Bible study. Friends, it's a daily concern of ours to continue in God's acceptable favor with you and I. Amen? It's a responsibility of ours. We go to God daily and regularly looking for His and receiving His mercy for our lives or His grace. I was just reading this week in the book Maranatha, the daily devotional. She mentions making a hasty prayer life. You know, it's like we enter into the prayer circle with Christ. We stay there for 2 minutes, and then we go out the other side still carrying our burdens with us. God wants to bestow so many blessings to us, not just His acceptance and favor for us, but He wants to relieve us of our burdens, our cares, and our trials. It's a daily manner. It's a daily walk with God. The daily walk with God is realizing that when I sin and make a mistake, I can still get up again and put my hands in the hands of Christ. We beat ourselves up and we say, God doesn't like me. You know, He doesn't care for me and all these things. And you know, we do injustice to God's favor and love when we say that God won't forgive me or won't accept me. We choose to live in our sin. We choose to stay in it. Not long ago, I was talking to a person who had some challenges and issues, and they were going on and on and on about this particular challenge in their personal life. And I stopped them and I asked, I said, do you want to change? Do you really want to be healed? There was a long pause there. And they said, no. Kind of like my miserable condition. Because I know that there's a requirement that if I do that, maybe there's going to be more expectation of me. Maybe God will ask me to do other things. What is it about us? We like to just kind of settle down in our circumstance and live there and enjoy the bitterness of our own lives and pity ourselves. It's ridiculous. God wants to lift us up out of the mud so that we can walk and continue on, holding grudges and anger and hostility. And it's just ridiculous. God asks us to overcome, you know, our natural tendencies and to hold on to these challenges. It's crazy. Now, continue to walk daily. By the grace of God, you will grow in strength and acceptance of Him every day. Amen? That's our responsibility. Let's move on. Grace is the means of salvation. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 8. But I just want to give you some parentheses here, some side notes. Some footnotes for the means of salvation. Two other places in Scripture, it makes mention of grace in our salvation. In Acts 15:11, it says, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they are. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given in Jesus Christ before the world began. Grace was offered and extended to us before the world was even created. But grace and salvation have an important role to play. And friends, we must have acceptance and favor with God. Amen? And how do we do that? And I'm going to read this verse, but it's very simple. Simply asking Christ into your life and making Him Lord and Savior. Thus God extends His grace and offering to us. Everybody has the privilege and the opportunity to accept and to walk in God's grace. But it's our own fault when we don't choose to do it. You know, we choose to, as this one person, live in the situation and kind of enjoy it. You know, have you ever been angry at somebody and just kind of liked it, you know? You know, just kind of upset, you know, or whatever. You kind of liked it. You were kind of depressed, and you just kind of like to be depressed, you know. And you know, what's the deal with that? Why do we like to stay that way? That's human nature, the human tendency. We like to do those things. We like to continue in that. God wants to extend to us His grace, His merits of favor and acceptance. And they're ours for the keeping. He's already given them to us. We just need to accept them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in what? Sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are what? Saved. In other words, we were dead once. It's like God gave to us resuscitation, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, revived us when we were dead, brought us back to life. Who do we owe for our salvation? Christ, Jesus. Are we saved by are you saved by your works? Am I saved by my works? No. It's through God's favor, God's acceptance. So, as it says here, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of the grace of his kindness toward us through Christ. What does it say? The ages to come. When you think about this in practicality and principle, he's not just talking about the ages of this earth, he's talking about the age of eternity. His grace will be made known in our lives throughout eternity. And the whole universe will recognize we have been saved by what? Grace. Through faith in Christ. Because of God's grace for us, that's why we're in the eternal home with God throughout eternity. That's why we're there. And throughout eternity, the holy angels and the presence of other beings will recognize, and we too will fall down at his feet and say, "Worthy, worthy," or "Holy, holy is the Lamb." Because of what? Who made heaven and earth and who has redeemed us by his blood. Grace throughout eternity. Goes on to say, verse 8, "For by grace you are what? Saved through faith and not of yourself." It is what? Salvation is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Grace, unmerited favor, to be extended to those in time of need or those in need. Are you in need of anything today? Are you in need of Jesus? Are you in need of a Savior? Are you in need of Christ? I hope today that you have come to this congregation believing that you can walk away justified and made right in the eyes of God. I pray that each one of you will have the very same statement applied to Noah, applied to you today. Perfect in all his ways, Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Perfect and just. Will you today come to this congregation? And will you today, at the foot of the cross, lay your burdens down? Will you surrender your heart, your mind, and your life to Jesus and allow him to be Lord, Savior, and God of your life? Will you walk away today from this congregation having acceptance and favor with God? Why do you come to church? To hear a good message? To sing a couple of songs? To visit with friends? Why do you come? Hopefully the purpose is to come that you can draw strength, that you can draw energy, that you can draw courage, that you can find forgiveness from the hand of God. Grace is extended to you today, and each of us can walk out of the sanctuary with confidence and assurance of salvation in Christ, believing and knowing that we have acceptance in God. Isn't that nice to know? That God accepts us no matter what our condition. Turn with me to our scripture reading today as we begin to wrap this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. Let us look at what grace is truly about in our spiritual walk with God. As you know, in verse 7 it says, that Paul was afflicted, he was buffeted by Satan. There are some differences and discrepancies about what this exact affliction was, so we're not going to go over that. We're just going to look that Paul was afflicted to some degree. In verse 8, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord," how many times? Three times. He sought God three times that God would deliver him from this affliction, whatever it may be. How many times have you sought God for an affliction in your life and it just doesn't seem to go away? there it is. You wake up the next morning, and there it is. You go to bed, and there it is. You start your next day, there it is. Month goes by, and there it is. It just doesn't go away. See, I believe with certainty that God allows tribulation, He allows trials, He even allows us to struggle with sin so that we are strengthened and our faith is increased, so that we will learn a dependence and a trust in God and not of ourselves. If God were to come down and take away every sin from us, right at the moment that we asked, would our faith truly be strengthened? Would it? It says we go through struggles and we go through trials and temptations. The Bible says no temptation has taken you but such is common to what? To man. God allows temptation. There's nothing wrong with temptation. It's what you do with it. All right? But with the temptation, we'll make a way of what? There's a choice. We have a choice. And that's where the struggle comes in many times. Will I do what God asked me to do, or will I give in to temptation? And as we wrestle with that and as we struggle with that, we become stronger. And God allows those temptations so that we can become strong. Amen? It's for our good. Now notice what he says here. Paul said, I prayed three times. Three times. But notice what Christ tells Paul. And I want us to be encouraged by this today. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is what? And what does grace mean? Acceptance and favor with who? God. Paul, this one thing you need to know is that you have acceptance and you have favor with me. More than anything else, I don't care what you're struggling with, you got to understand, you must understand that my grace is sufficient. Knowing, having the knowledge in your head that you have acceptance and favor with God is what's important. Though you may be struggling with sin, though you may be struggling with temptation, knowing that you have acceptance and favor with God. Now, the Bible also is very clear. Because grace abounds, do we continue in sin? No. Okay, don't get me wrong here. We struggle with sin. Paul said it in Romans chapter 7. That's what I want to do, I don't do, and end up doing, I hate, and all that stuff. But thanks be through God. We are to be more than conquerors in Christ. But we struggle and we have challenges daily. The important thing we must understand is while we are challenged, while we are struggling, while we are achieving victories in our life, we must believe that we have acceptance and favor with God. And friends, when we have that understanding, we can accomplish many things in this world. We can overcome many obstacles. Despite my failures, God loves me. And we won't have to beat ourselves up anymore. Punch ourselves in the nose and all that good stuff. Help trying to overcome, you know. We can rest in Jesus because I have acceptance and I have favor and He has given me His merits. Amen? Amen? He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made what? Perfect in what? When we are suffering, when we are weak, we become what? Strong. Most gladly, then Paul continues on, therefore I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may do what? Rest upon me. Rejoicing in our infirmities, because the power of God rests on me. His grace is sufficient. In other words, all we need to know in this life to overcome is that we have favor and acceptance with Him. And because of that favor and acceptance with Him, through who? Through Christ. That means it's important for you and I today to accept Jesus right where we're at and allow Him to be Lord and Savior and God of our lives. And thus we have His acceptance. Thus we have His favor. And each one of us can leave this congregation with the blessed hope, the blessed assurance, the confidence that when Jesus comes, by His grace, I will be ready. So as we sing our closing hymn today, what is the number 109? I wonder today, as you sing this song, will you stop for a moment and meditate in the song as you're singing? Need your help singing this morning. Will you give your heart to Jesus? Will you surrender your life into the hands of God? Will you allow Him to be Lord and Savior of your life? Will you allow Him to offer you His grace, and will you accept it? May you walk away from this congregation today with the proclamation of Noah. Noah was perfect and just in all his ways. May you find forgiveness for your sins today. May you believe that Jesus has accepted you right where you're at.